We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The entire first hour, all on what took place, the tragedy in Thousand Oaks. That podcast will be available soon. You can podcast the show on a regular basis. Greatly appreciate if you do that. WCCRadio.com/Chad. You obviously can send text 81807. You can send an email, chad.hartman@intercom.com. Know that if you send an email, you send a text, we react to it, right? This show is a back and forth. You may agree with what we say. You may disagree. But if you're jumped in the arena, if we have time, we'll try to respond to as many as possible. Tucker Carlson, someone who the three of us don't spend a lot of time talking about, don't spend a lot of time defending. But Tucker Carlson has been a member of the media for a long, long time. Tucker Carlson, when he had his opportunity at Fox with the shuffle of O'Reilly and of Megyn Kelly, he went from libertarian conservative to Team Trump. He decided that was the way to go. And listen, a lot of it was in his core beliefs already, but he certainly hewed more to go with the president. Intelligent person. However, the times I watch him, I find him smug, condescending, and so dismissive of anyone who disagrees with him. But I'm going to defend the bleep out of him when people are showing up at his house. That's criminal. That is, to me, flat-out criminal. And you're achieving nothing other than terrorizing someone. There's a lot of ways to push back on someone who you disagree with. Don't watch. Watch. Respond. We have every sort of platform out there. When they appear in public at an event, when they're speaking. Not when they appear in public and they're going to get coffee or they're dry cleaning or they're out and about and their kids. Speak out that way. But last night, Carlson's working and his wife's in the kitchen. They have four kids. They're not home at the time. And individuals are throwing themselves at the front door to the point they cracked it. His wife, thinking like what 99% of us would have thought, this is a home invasion, calls 911 and locks herself in the pantry. But no, it's not a home invasion. It's a group called Smash Racism DC, an anti-fascist organization, which, by the way, was also part of confronting, screaming, giving the double middle finger to Ted Cruz, another person this show doesn't exactly support. But this is what took place, including a person saying, Tucker Carlson, we are outside your home, using bullhorn, promoting hate and ideology that leads to thousands of people dying. Again, I don't agree with Tucker Carlson's ideology at all. At all. But to show up at his house in this menacing, threatening way, to me, is flat out criminal. They blocked off both ends of his street, carried signs that listed his home address, listed the address of other conservative commentators, their address, Ann Coulter and others. Carlson said this, it wasn't protest, it was a threat. They weren't protesting anything specific that I had said. They weren't asking me to change anything. They weren't protesting policy, advocating for legislation. They were threatening me and my family. telling me to leave my own neighborhood in a city that I grew up in. Accused Carlson of spreading fear into her homes. A now deleted tweet. Tonight, you reminded me that we have a voice. Tonight, we reminded you that you are not safe either. Anybody want to defend this? Anybody want to defend this sort of behavior? Even if you are the exact opposite politically of Tucker Carlson, this is where we're at now. We want to scream and yell at people in public. We want to confront them in restaurants. We want to go to their homes and pound on their door as if you're breaking in so a resident who's there has to hide in the pantry calling 911. Somebody wants to defend this? I want to hear it. I want to hear what Lindsay and Adam have to say. Text away 81807. 81807 or phone call 651-989-9226.
We got to get some new fish. This is, I don't like this one.
Okay, well, why don't you step up
just
then?
Just rolled her eyes.
Yeah, well, first of all, we provide music to our show. You now are the critic, but then, you know, you're back there baked half the time anyway. Yeah. When you, and you're listening and bobbing your head to fish, why don't you waddle your butt into the studio
I
and
have
provide
some in here.
Oh, stop. Seriously, how many times have you told us? It's in the system. I just can't find it.
I can find it. I don't know how to put it in the new system.
I think Lindsay could help.
Give me a list, and I will put your songs in the system.
Yes.
I will say this. Thank you to our listeners who gave us
some good ideas.
Suggestions on
Benny Goodman.
Music. You know who I've been really loving?
Glenn Miller.
Mia Love gave me no love. And she lost. Too bad. Sorry about that, Mia.
See you, Mia. I don't think when Lindsay was alluded to, you know what I love right now? I don't think it was sound bites
Donald
from the
Trump.
President, Donnie.
No, and I'm going to probably make some Led Zeppelin fans mad, but someone texted in about Greta Van Fleet.
Oh, yeah.
And I did not know about Greta Van Fleet, and Greta Van Fleet is great bumper music.
Well,
because
it's Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, well, let's listen.
Okay, hold on. I got to set this up.
We got the new system, which has got some bugs. Got some flaws. Adam, in fact, has 10,000 examples of bumper music in there, but we just can't find. You know, it's like, Adam?
In fairness, it all has to be re-added. So I've been doing like five or six a day. So
Adam,
if you're hearing the same songs over and over again, it's because it's kind
of
a tedious process.
Adam, Bob Jones called me, and he said he wants me to offer you a membership at Augusta. I just can't find it.
Yeah.
I can't find it. Oh, I like this so far.
They got destroyed by a Pitchfork, I think, is a music review site.
Okay.
Oh.
Led Zeppelin, by the way, slightly overrated.
Well,
I'm into this. Again, Mr. Critic over there. You can see the look on his face, can't you, Lindsay?
No, I mean, a lot of their stuff, though, I mean, honestly, it could be Led Zeppelin.
Not this.
No.
I'm in. Carter, thumbs up or thumbs down?
Yeah, it's enjoyable.
But there's qualifiers. Okay? Lindsay, I mean, Lindsay worked hard, you know. And
well,
then
it has nothing to do with Lindsay. It's about the song.
Yeah. All right, let's go. Bring some stuff.
See, this is them too.
Okay, I got nervous that something was happening.
This is Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, this is right here. Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Very
but
much.
Anyway, yeah, Pitchfork. Did a review. Oh, and it's just, good. I mean, it's just, you know, one of those where.
Speaking of Pitchforks, are we aware of the juggernaut that is the ASU football team? Herm Edwards, I was behind that hire. I thought it was an astute hire. Hold on. All they do is win. Maybe we need to start talking more ASU football. You and Tucker Carlson are thick as thieves?
Mm-hmm.
Is that, why are thieves thick, by the way?
I don't know.
They just work together so close? You want to defend people showing up at individuals' houses and menacing and breaking in?
I mean, you can disagree with someone all you want and disagree with their views and wonder if those are actually their views or if they're just really making money off of it, which is kind of a despicable thing.
Mm-hmm.
But to show up at somebody's house, and he's 100% right. It's not protesting. That's borderline assault and trespassing. And
I want people to do that, to be arrested.
They should be exposed.
Yeah.
For just like people who were in, you know, Charlottesville who were, you know, exposed, and a lot of them lost their jobs, rightly so.
Correct. And let me be clear. I think Tucker Carlson distorts the news, plays on people's fears. If people come on the air, does not give them a chance to give an opportunity. If you watch Tucker Carlson now, the Tucker Carlson 5-6 years ago, he's unrecognizable. He has decided that he needs to do this to fit in the Trump political prism. But no way, no how for me do you show up. Lindsay, what do you think? Because we've had some differences on, because I think you've said if you see people in public, right, have conversations. I'm all for having respectful conversations. They can even get animated at times because your opportunities are limited. But I'm sorry, when you're confronting people at restaurants and other areas, that is beyond the line for me.
And it doesn't help anything. You're not helping anyone.
No.
In fact, you're making people who are actually doing good work, you're making them look bad. You're bringing all of this attention. Everyone is looking at, you know, oh, these crazy liberals are putting us all into this big old pack that we're all going to show up at someone's house and bang on the door. That's violence. That is violence. It's just
his wife thought people were breaking into the house.
That's the part that I can't wrap my head around. And it's this idea that there are humans out there who find enjoyment in scaring other people
because they think
they're right.
And they think that because, by the way, Tucker Carlson does scare. Right. He does play up things. And in my view, personally, this is an opinion, distorts things to bring people to the side sometimes out of fear. And they think, OK, well, if he's using fear, we'll use fear back on him stronger way.
It's sad.
It is. It is sad.
It's sad and frustrating. And it's, you know, we hear these stories constantly of these groups that think they're doing the right thing. And I just feel like it's just becoming so polarizing on both sides. Even this morning already, the crazy right-wing conspiracy theories about the Middle Eastern shooter in Thousand Oaks, when that's not even true. But it is. You're feeding on someone's fears. You're going after them. There is a time and a place for conversation. Do I think if I ran into Tucker Carlson in a grocery store and tried to have a civil conversation about his behavior that it would do anything? Absolutely not. But that doesn't mean that showing up at his house and harassing his wife is the right route to go.
All right, let me get to some of the text. Let me get to the White House using InfoWars. That's where we're at now. A place that whatever high percentage of their content is just flat out lies, distortions, conspiracies, including their leader, and now the White House using doctored video to go after a guy who the show is called The Grandstander over and over again, Jim Acosta. So we'll get to Acosta. I want to get to the text on Tucker Carlson and our guy Major Garrett in a little more than 10 minutes. Among the texts on Carlson, going to someone's home is over the line, but will not lose any sleep. Or if people like Carlson devote their lives to rallying up hate. I'm not asking you to lose sleep, but I'm asking you to call this criminal behavior and to call it out. Just like you're allowed to oppose in a vehement way where Carlson stands on issues. Jay, I can't defend him, but everyone has to know there's a consequence to your actions. Whether you're an HR executive, police officer, television journalist, you own your actions and words and must live with them and the consequences. So that means you get to go to your HR executive houses, police officers' houses, torment them because you don't agree with how they're doing their job? That's where we're at right now. What's the difference, more text here, between people in Texas who are fear for their lives because of all the rednecks running around with guns trying to enforce border when they're just civilians? I think they're two totally different situations. Not even close. I'm a registered Democrat. I'll not defend their actions. They all should be arrested for destruction of property and trespassing. More text here. Totally agree that behavior inappropriate seems to me it's criminal or should be. I feel horrible when they go to people's homes and demonstrate. I'm not a fan of people getting yelled at when they eat either. Why do you think Jason Lewis didn't have town hall meetings? It wasn't safe. We had people going to Jason Lewis's house. And I think it's kind of convenient for some to go after people in the town hall meetings, because right now there's so much vitriol, I wonder really what is accomplished. Let's not forget what the Tea Party did in 2010 and ruined those town halls, just like many of the liberals were going out of their way to ruin conservatives and town halls. Jim Acosta puts way too much attention, for my liking, on Jim Acosta. And he always is
What, though? I've been thinking about that, and I'm not putting him in any category of, like, the best journalists all time. But I was thinking about that this morning. A lot of the great journalists, paper, radio, television, come across as total a-holes and jerks and grandstanders, because they're not out to be liked. They're out to do their job.
And they don't have to be liked.
Right.
Right. I just think for me, there, as a reporter, there's too much editorializing by him in the questions.
Yep.
And there's too much of, how can I stand out and then provide a soundbite for CNN the rest of the
day? I agree. I just think, you know, that there have been a long line of reporters who are complete jerks.
And we should want that.
Yes.
And people have to be convinced that it's always not just, my guy only gets this when plenty of other people do. By the way, if you're asking us, do I think there are more people on the left in journalism, right? It's not close. There's more on the left. We talked about how bizarre the press conference was. The president, unwilling to answer questions, just racial comments, derogatory comments, and how awful it was for the White House intern to have to try to take the mic. I've never seen something like that before. We'll talk to Major about that. But this idea that Jim Acosta, who I just said goes way too far for my liking, was physically harmful to the intern, and then the White House goes to some guy who works for InfoWars, which is all about conspiracies and altering information, and uses a doctored video? Are you kidding me? Because if you believe that's the actual video, you're not that bright, or you're just not paying attention. And you're allowed to detest Acosta, not like him. The president is not treated fair. All that is allowed. But doctored video to provide this? And by the way, Adam, this is where we're at now, where the president gets to decide, again, because he banned a CNN reporter before, gets to ban outlets which he doesn't care for their coverage. Barack Obama at times was too condescending to Fox News. Absolutely was. But to this level? I mean, this is what happens with dictatorships, where you pay attention to one outlet, you use them as a platform to promote yourself, which that's what Fox News in the evening is all about. Not during the day, because during the day, damn good reporters. But now we're banning the other side and you're happy with it? Then you really don't get the exchange between the freedom of the press and what we want, and the difference of opinions and facts and egomaniacs at times in the media, and also being so thin-skinned that you can't handle the back and forth, which is unavoidable when you're the president of the United States. As we say every time when he comes on, he truly is one of our favorites. Major Garrett is kind enough to join us. We'll talk about all of his exploits, the takeout, Mr. Trump's wild ride, many items when we get to this extended conversation with Mr. Garrett. Would you say you're normally 100% honest with us, 50% honest? Where are you at when we engage in this silly conversation?
When we discuss gin and Led Zeppelin, I'm 100% honest.
Oh, we were talking about Led Zeppelin earlier. Who is the group that we were talking about, Lindsay, that sounds a little bit?
Well, now I'm scared to say it, because last time we talked, I gave my opinion to Major Garrett. He mocked me for liking white wine.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to say
He's
that I
right
enjoy
that.
Greta Van Fleet, and he might mock me again.
I've taken the Greta Van Fleet quiz, and I would not at all be confused. I could identify every single one of the songs as either theirs or Zeppelin's. Not a problem for me. But I admire their proficiency, but there's only one Led Zeppelin.
Is this after you've had a couple glasses of wine or before you've had a couple glasses of wine that you're going to identify the
difference? I can identify Led Zeppelin under any set of circumstances.
Really?
Any.
When is the last time you would say you had too much to drink?
Oh.
Like you're safe, you're having fun, a party, you know, and what the heck, we got nothing going on, so let's get more than tipsy.
It would have been sometime last year.
Last year?
Yeah.
When you were just so tired of the book? when it was just over and over and over again?
Well, that certainly had something to do with it, yes. The book and the day job, yes.
Yes.
When they clashed, as they often did.
Right.
It was...
A lot.
A lot, and difficult. And there was at least one Supreme vendor last year.
Nothing wrong with that.
Counselor, I laid myself before the mercy of the court.
Yeah, no, trust me, I've been there also, right? Okay, take us through the preparation for getting ready for Colbert, because you were outstanding last night. How does that work?
Well, the preparation included something I don't recommend, which was 2 hours of sleep, because I was on air with CBS Special Election Night coverage until 2 a.m. Yep. Eastern Time. Wednesday morning, then I was on CBS this morning, that Wednesday morning, which meant I got 2 hours of sleep. Then I was at the presidential press conference yesterday. Then I dashed to the airport, took a plane, got to Colbert's studio, the Ed Sullivan Theater, about 5 o'clock, and was sequestered there until we did the show. So I just sat in the green room or whatever the room they call it, where you're not interacting with anybody. No other guests. You don't see any. I didn't see Chris Pine. I didn't see the manic comic dog. I didn't sell dog.
Triumph.
Triumph, who I've seen on the campaign trail many times.
Yes.
I didn't see Triumph in New York. And then the next thing I know, I'm in makeup. And the next thing I know, they're putting me out right next to the stage. And there's a little carpet with a gold star on it. You stand right there. Then somebody pushes you in the back and you walk out there. And there you go.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't want to talk too much alcohol because we've already talked about it. But in the legendary Johnny Carson days, and I don't know if it's the other shows also, they would provide the guest with a drink, hoping that might loosen him or her up a little bit.
So in the room that I was in, there was a kind of a set-aside area of drinks, and they had lots of soft drinks on ice, and they had bottles of beer on ice. I did not take any beer, not on 2 hours of sleep.
No.
I just had 2 Diet Cokes, and that's how I got myself ready.
I think that would be appropriate. Mr. Trump's Wild Ride, I love the book. I encourage you to read it. Major, outstanding, great praise. Mr. Trump's Wild Ride, the thrills, chills, screams, and occasional blackouts, an extraordinary presidency. Ballpark, how many presidential press conferences have you been a part of?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm going to guess, and there's probably a way to count this up, I'm going to guess between 80 to 100.
Do any of the previous, let's go highest, 100, stand out as much as yesterday's did?
Not for the intensity and the intensity of the interaction or the mockery from the president and just the incredible weirdness of the room. Yesterday is in a completely different category.
Why do you think it went that way?
A couple of reasons. The president gets adrenaline from conflict. He started the press conference off kind of slow. I think anyone looking at it would say he looked very kind of mellow, and he didn't seem to have a lot of energy. And he instinctively draws energy from conflict. Sometimes he creates the conflict on Twitter and watches it spin. Sometimes he gets engaged right directly. And the interaction with Acosta created a sense of adrenaline, a sense of conflict, and immediate clashing. Then there were other reporters, and the room began to just get a sort of tension around it. And when the president is taking as many questions as he takes, lots of reporters compete feistily for his attention. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
That creates sort of an energy in the room as well. And look, reporters, and we've talked about this before, respond differently to the president's provocations. And I've shared with you my thoughts on that.
Yep.
You're the reporter. He's the president. Your job is to ask questions and get news-making answers and leave everything else alone. Because you're there not to be a part of the story. You're there to ask questions and make sure that the answers you get are as complete as they can be. And you have every right to follow up and every right to press to get the answers to your question. And then you sit down.
Yep.
Because that's the way it works.
Right.
The institution of the presidency is more important than your own demonstrated tenacity. It has limits. And maybe other reporters will disagree with me on this, and they're free to do so, obviously. But there are limits. You're not the town crier. You're a reporter. You ask questions and you sit down. Now, look, I held the mic for a good long time yesterday.
Well, that's what I was going to say, because
I asked one question and then folded up my tent and sat down. I hit him with three very good questions
right. That
made news.
Right.
And I didn't give up the mic, and I could feel the aide hovering near me.
Right.
But then I reached the end, and then I relinquished it. I believe stylistically, journalistically, what I did, for me, that's my model. It's not everyone's model, but it's mine. And guess what? I can only keep track of and hold up for public scrutiny one model, mine.
What is your view on how the White House now, to justify this, has offered up clearly a doctored video?
Well, a pretext is a pretext, and everyone can see it and see it for what it is and see it for what it manifestly represents, an angry president who wanted to do something and probably told a series of people to figure out a way to do it. That doesn't take any kind of forensic scientific expertise. It doesn't take sleuthing capabilities worthy of a great spy novel. It just takes what your eyes tell you you see. And what you don't see or what you can tell has been changed to live up to what, by all accounts, is a manufactured excuse to do something. It won't work out well. It won't stand the test of time. And that's sort of where we are. And that's why I go back to my original point about what journalism is and what journalism can be. When it's solid, credible, believable, it outlasts almost everything, especially incredible politicians or incredible political actions.
Mr. Trump's Wild Ride, this man, Major Garrett, wrote the book. In fact, a texter's just texted in, I just finished his book. Love it. We thank you for that. We want other people to read it. The thrills, chills, screams, and occasional blackouts of extraordinary presidency. Okay, let's get some policy here. What is your sense about the dynamic, the professionalism, and the ability to get something done with Nancy Pelosi and Donald Trump potentially working together?
It's going to take a while to sort out. Anyone who prognosticates about that in this particular atmosphere doesn't know anything about what they're talking about. There's so many things that have to be established before you can have any basis of predicting what President Trump and soon-to-be Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi are going to do. What are these things? Well, we have to get to the lame duck session. Part of what the president's appetite will be or won't be will be determined by what he and Republicans do in the lame duck session. They might put through another tax cut, not the one he talked about in the campaign, but the one the House has already passed. They call it Trump Tax Cut 2.0. Sitting over there in the Senate, all they need to do is pass a budget resolution with 51 votes, put that tax cut in reconciliation, and they're off to the races. Do they do something on border wall funding that the president is satisfied with and averts a government shutdown? Those are two big issues for sure, but there are a couple of others. And until those things are resolved in the lame duck, we have no idea what his appetite or range of options are for potential future deals might be. That's point one. Point two, Nancy Pelosi has to sort out the politics within her own Democratic caucus. Several victorious Congress people elect said they wouldn't vote for Nancy Pelosi during their campaigns. Now, maybe that's just a wink and a nod, but that's got to be sorted out. And this very narrow Democratic majority in the House is going to have to figure out what it's for. because if they're going to pass bills on the floor, knowing they're going to go up against hostile Republican amendments, at least one or so in every iteration, they've got to link arms and be completely solidified. When you have a narrow majority, that's imperative. Well, they've got to figure out what they can be completely unified on, which means they have to have a conversation about progressivism versus some kind of neocentrism in the Democratic caucus. Until that's sorted out, you don't know what they're going to bid on or right. what they're going to present to the president as possible areas to even discuss. So those two things are going to take the lame duck session and probably well into January, early February on the Democratic caucus side in the House.
Until then,
we don't know.
Yep. We have two new congressmen in this area, congressmen and women. Angie Craig, who will replace Jason Lewis, Democrat. Dean Phillips will replace Eric Paulson. And I interviewed both yesterday and asked them about Pelosi. And both said they want new leadership, but both also added they need another alternative out there. Do you think there's going to be a viable alternative to Pelosi who could garner enough votes to potentially challenge and win this over the former speaker and the longtime majority leader?
No, not viable alternative. No. Pelosi is a formidable political figure in American life. First female speaker of the House, that makes her formidable and historic in its own right. She's also a prodigious fundraiser, absolutely prodigious, which means she not only raises money for her own campaigns, which are usually walkovers, but she raises money throughout the Democratic caucus relentlessly. That is the kind of approach to team building. And once you have built the team and populated the team victory after you just achieved it, she's not going to be denied that which she has sought for a good long while. Yes, are there inclinations to have new leadership? Yes, but there have to be, keyword, not just alternatives, but viable alternatives. And the desire to, and the imperative, as I mentioned before, to be together and to figure out what the agenda is, and to be unified, you need a coherent leadership team to do that. She has the experience in that regard. She has the trust of all of the most senior Democrats eyeing committee chairmanships now. They're loyal to her. She will be the speaker.
Two last points, and we'll let you go, sir. You were right on when you asked the president about Jeff Sessions, and clearly the wheels have been in motion for months and months. And then the announcement came out when Jeff Sessions at your request, I have resigned, and they have appointed as acting attorney general Matt Whitaker. From the folks you have talked to who are objective, who don't lean too dramatic one side or the other, do they believe he has the qualifications to be the attorney general?
Well, there's a simple question that hasn't been answered. And there's an interesting op-ed on the New York Times website right now written by the husband of Kellyanne Conway, counselor to the president, that says this is an unconstitutional appointment. Why? Because Matt Whitaker is not Senate confirmed to anything. Nothing. He was the chief of staff to the attorney general. He's never been through a Senate confirmation process as a Justice Department official, except back when he was a U.S. attorney. But you can't cut and paste that aged confirmation for the attorney generalship of the United States. Typically, in matters like this, you take someone who has an existing Senate-confirmed post, deputy, undersecretary, something, and place them in an acting role. He's placed in an acting role without any Senate confirmation at all. I don't understand how that's possible.
Interesting.
I know. As far as his approach to the Mueller investigation, that's politically fraught. The president said yesterday, I could fire everyone, but I won't.
Yep.
I think he understands well the politics of that. So I don't think the Mueller investigation is any particular jeopardy. But whether Matt Whitaker can do this job for any length of time, I think, is a very open and real question.
You obviously have been extraordinarily busy. You had your latest podcast, The Takeout, just a day before the election with Caitlin, who was great. Tomorrow? When will another one
tomorrow.
Drop?
So tomorrow, the podcast will be available at WCCO. I believe the real estate is still 11 p.m. on Sunday night,
yes.
Unless that's changed, is the U.S. ambassador from Great Britain, Tim Derrick. We did that at his request inside the British Embassy. Usually we have one meal for the takeout. Every episode is built around a meal. This time, a five-course meal presented by the chef of the British Embassy here in the United States.
Well, la-di-da.
Yes, it was great.
What was your favorite part of the meal?
Actually, stunningly, because I'm not a big person on this, it was the smoked salmon appetizer. Usually I run away from smoked salmon because of its temperature and texture and kind of low-level sliminess. Not this time. Spectacular.
Very
spectacular.
Nice. All right. Yep. Get some rest.
I will try, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Major
you,
Garrett, the best in the business, kind enough to join us. 1:53. That is the Lindis Construction Time Check. Time to call for a free estimate on Infinity Bar Marvin Windows. Dara will be in the house. She'll be here at 2:35. I know Dara's already sent a number of good items, but if you have a restaurant question, topic, agree with something Dara has said, completely disagree with something Dara has said, you can always text away 81807. I appreciate the text. Keep them coming even when you categorically disagree. But again, you understand if you send a text, we react to it. We might agree with you. We might disagree with you. I am much more inclined to read the texts that disagree with us and engage in the back and forth, and you can call at any point.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.